We celebrate with great joy, with exuberance, this feast day in honor of everybody who has achieved the highest possible victory, our brothers and sisters in glory. Feast of All Saints, Solemnity of All Saints. It's such a big feast day that here in the Philippines, it's not a holy day of obligation, but in most of the world, it's a holy day of obligation, as if the church were to say, you have to celebrate this. This is too big a deal not to celebrate with great festivity. Now, I understand that in the Philippines, probably because everybody's traveling today and people are going to cemeteries, and so the bishops probably said, well, it's not really possible for everybody to get to Mass. But if anyone can get to Mass, as all of you are doing now, it's really right. It's to celebrate the glory of God shining on the faces of our own brothers and sisters who are there. Not only the great ones, the St. Augustines and the Thomas Aquinas's and the Padre Pio's, but even our own relatives, friends, neighbors, people who maybe died within the last year, who have already passed through the whole process and are now seeing God face to face. It's just a great thing to celebrate. Now, to think about this feast, I think we can start with some human, the human level of what happens when we see someone else accomplish a great feat or achieve a great victory. The right response is joy for what another person has done. And I have an example that's fresh in my mind because in the United States, they just finished the highest level of the championship of the sport of baseball. And I don't think anyone paid much attention to it here, but the World Series is the highest level of play in baseball, and the World Series completed yesterday. So the victorious team proclaims itself as the greatest team in the whole world. And everybody who is a fan of that team, after the end of the championship game, everybody's jumping up and down and waving their hands and screaming and hugging each other. You see this in the media. And you see this in every sport. It's not only baseball. Whenever someone's team wins the victory, well, then those people who identify with that team, they celebrate with great joy. And an outsider might say, well, they didn't win the game. Those players who represent the Los Angeles Dodgers, and those nine guys, they won, or the 10, 15 guys, however many played on the field, they won the game. But the people watching on television, they didn't win, and yet they say, we won, we won, we won. So they're participating in the victory. Maybe a better example is Carlos Yulo, just a few months ago. Everyone in the Philippines was jumping up and down, waving their hands and hugging each other because someone from the Philippines won two gold medals. Never happened before. And so everybody's saying, we won, we won, we won. You see how it is? And you might say, well, what? How does that guy, jumping into the air and tumbling around, how does that benefit us at all? Well, you have to be able to see past the physical connection and say there's a spiritual connection that makes it possible for us to celebrate the victory of someone else because it's actually also our victory. So the Olympics is a good example. Any country who has an athlete who wins a gold medal celebrates as if the country itself won the medal. Well, this is something like what we do when we're celebrating the saints in glory. It also connected to this is the awareness that we should have, or the heightened awareness we should have today, that we are all connected and we help one another. Actually, this was already brought out yesterday. You might remember yesterday's first reading where St. Paul encouraged everyone to put on the armor of God. And after giving that encouraging word and clear directive to be strong, then he asked for the prayers of the Ephesians. He said, you pray for me too. So here, I'm helping you, but you help me with your prayers so that I can also complete my mission, Communion of Saints. And I even mentioned how God provided Father Peter here when I was sick, so that we could have Mass here. And say, well, that's how it works in the church, right? We help one another. But it's not only that we help one another on this level, in the human level, in this time, in this place. We do that. In fact, another good example of it is the how communities facing disasters help one another. We see it happening. Just yesterday, we brought 500 packs to the victims of Christine. The storm just happened last week. Well, we're not the only ones. A lot of people come together and help those who have been affected. But I say that's a natural level of how this works. But it has a much greater application on the spiritual level. My personal experience of it was earlier this week when I was sick. Father Peter was saying the Mass, and I was sitting over there behind those big statues. If you were here earlier this week, there was a big statue of Our Lady of Fatima, because we were honoring Our Lady of the Rosary, and then there was a big statue of Saint Dominic, and the chair I was sitting in was behind them, so as if like I was hiding behind the saints. Well, yes, that is what we do. We depend on the intercession of the saints. We hide behind them. We rest on their intercession, their power with God. Not that they themselves are powerful by themselves, but God has shared with them his own glory. He's brought them into a share of his reign. So yes, they do have a place, they do have a role to play for our sake. Which tells us that this feast day, even though it's about the saints, it's not really for them, because they don't need this feast day. The saints in heaven are already in glory. They're perfectly happy. They don't need a feast day. But we need a feast day to remind us of where we're headed and who's helping us on the way. We need this feast day. This is kind of an unusual feast, because most of the big feast days of the church honor Jesus or Mary, some event of salvation history. But this feast day celebrates the whole communion. Yes, all those who are in glory, but also us who are helped by them. I find it kind of interesting that, speaking of the communion of saints, here in the sanctuary we have one man from Asia, we have one man from Africa, and one man from North America. It's as if to say, well, this is the way it is, right? Where the whole communion, the whole family of God is participating in this. So I say, this feast day is not for the saints, it's for us, so that we, with their help, will join them. Saint John, in today's second reading, alludes to this future that we look forward to. He says, "See what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called children of God. Yet so we are." So we are children of God, all of us here. The world doesn't know it. Maybe we don't even know it, in the sense we don't really fully comprehend what a great blessing it is to be baptized, to be children of God. He says, okay, the world doesn't know it. They don't know God. But we are God's children now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. What we shall be. I mean, there's something still to come that we don't yet see fully. We know it by faith. We can look forward to it. We can rejoice in it. But we don't have it in our experience yet. What will it be that has not yet been revealed? We know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, like God. We're like God already, because we're created in his image. But we're not glorious yet. Not yet. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What we call the beatific vision. We shall see him as he is. We can't see God as he is now. But we will. God willing. Everyone who has this hope, right? Hope is faith applied to the future. This is a feast day that it celebrates the saints. They're not living in hope. They already have the fullness. We're the ones who have hope, and it's a real hope, a sure hope, because we see this is what God wants for us. Everyone who has this hope based on him makes himself pure as he is pure. So this is what we're doing. Now, I say this is a day of great exuberant celebration. I think we should not expect that we will always have that emotional response to the idea of heaven, because sometimes we don't. I was reflecting on some of the saints. I think it's Saint Joseph Cupertino who, when someone would say paraíso, he would levitate. Is he the one? Just say the word heaven, and he would rise up off the ground. It was so, had such an impact on him. Just the idea of heaven, lifted him off the ground. But you know the experience of Saint Therese in her last days when she was in her agony. She couldn't even think of heaven. And she said, I used to be able to think of heaven and it would give me great consolation. Now, I don't even have a conscious idea of heaven. She was completely stripped of the emotional response to the idea of glory. And she accepted that cross as a way of identifying herself with the atheists. We studied this a few months ago. With the atheists who don't believe in heaven, so they're living in this complete darkness. Well, she experienced a kind of darkness, emotional, spiritual darkness, even though she was already at a very high level of holiness and was about to enter heaven herself. She didn't have an experience of it in this life. So the reason I mention that is because here I am talking about how enthusiastic and how joyful we should be today. Well, you might not feel very joyful. And we're not in heaven yet. Well, not by experience. I mean, we're living in a world full of natural disasters and corruption and war and poverty and sickness. And you say, well, no, I just don't see it. Well, this is what this feast day is all about. We don't see it. We might not even feel it, but we know it's true. We know it's true. And that's what we ask the saints to do for us, to intercede for us, that we will be able to persevere in this faith, no matter how we might feel, no matter what we might experience. Because some experiences are really devastating and burdensome. But nothing should defeat our confidence in God and our knowledge that he wants us to see him face to face. And we have a huge family, an army, praying for us in heaven. Millions of people. Some of whom we knew when they were still in this world. So this is what we're celebrating today, and there's more to it. I'm sure as we ponder it, we can get greater insights into how the life of eternal glory has impact on us today. But for now, let's just recall the impact of the example of the saints, example of the holy men and women who are now in glory, and rely on their intercession for us. We who are saints in the making need and have the help of our brothers and sisters in glory.